This is Lynn from South Dakota, and I'm so glad to be here. It's nice to be at a different meeting that I haven't been on before and hear familiar voices. It helps me to feel more comfortable in the room. And it's the first time I've been on a hybrid meeting to qualify. So this is very interesting. I wish I could be there at face-to-face. But I've never really been to face-to-face meetings except for when I'm visiting other areas. So, yeah, this is pretty exciting. But I'm really thankful for the phone part of the meeting so that I can attend anywhere in the world almost. So, okay, so what it was like, I came in on the program on October 26, 2020, or that's when I started my abstinent date. I really came in the beginning of that month, and I went to quite a few phone meetings before I finally got a sponsor and started my program. But I started my program on October 26, and I weighed 154 pounds, and I was about 5'4", at least I thought I was 5'4", and 65 years old. It seemed like every time I went to the doctor's office, I was shrinking in height, and I was gaining in weight. And to me, that got to be kind of scary, and I just didn't think that was the way it should go. But and I was trying to control it at the time, and since then, yeah, it's been good. I'm in the rooms with lots of similar people in similar situations. So, but I grew up in the oldest in a family of six children in New Hampshire and Vermont. So I'm from that area. My weight was not a big deal, though, until I was 12 years old. I was always an outdoor child, always active. We always had pets and chickens and ducks and, you know, I'd run around outside, and I pretty much kept the weight down, or at least it didn't bother me until then. But I always had an attraction to sweet things. Even though there weren't many in our house, it was used as rewards for eating the food on my plate. But a lot of times I never liked those foods on my plate, or there was always something I didn't like. My mom did a lot of gardening, and she was very creative in her cooking. So I was not adventurous. I was more comfortable with having the same things that I'd liked, and then I'd be happy. But I did find ways to sneak the sweet things later. If I wasn't allowed to have that sweet thing after the meal, I could find it somewhere in the house. And my mom often kept her ingredients in the freezer. So that's where a lot of times I found it. And then she'd go to do her cooking and baking, and that would be gone because I had eaten it. And since there were six of us, I could just let the blame disperse, you know, with other people. And I never really took the blame, although I've admitted it to my mom since then, and she thought that was pretty funny. So she used to take me jogging at 5 in the morning, and after school she didn't let me have any snacks. So that kind of was my lifestyle. Every morning at 5 we'd go jogging for about 2 miles, and I did not like it at all then. I was more of a sedentary kind of person. But, I did it, and I'm glad because now today I've got a good habit of going out walking every morning. So I'm very thankful. But being overweight in my family was looked upon as kind of a moral failure, mostly by my father, and he would preach self-control and moderation as the way to avoid any weight problems. And a lot of times I was the one with the weight problems. I did have a couple of sisters who also have struggled with it too, but I was really jealous of the thinner younger sisters, and I was oversensitive about any word that could be construed as fat or chubby or any of those words. And if anybody looked at me kind of funny, I would be really self-conscious. I was angry and belligerent, and my father seemed to favor those thinner sisters. I don't know why, but he did. It was part of his program to hopefully make the rest of us man up to our responsibilities of keeping our weight down, but it didn't work that way. Because all of this, I grew up thinking that people would love me more if I were thin, and a lot of my thinking was based on that kind of thinking, and it was a faulty kind of thinking, and it was it didn't do much for my self-esteem. And I was, instead of making me eat less, it was making me eat more, and so I would be nibbling all the time, and a lot of times I in public or around other people I would eat very little, and it didn't seem like I should be gaining weight, but I was choosing unhealthy foods in between, and as I got older I could go get them myself. I could go buy them at the store or go buy them at a fast food place or something and eat it before I got home. So a lot of times I would come home from work in my later years and I would eat a lot of that kind of stuff, and then dinner time would come and I would feel like I had to go ahead and eat dinner just so I would not have to admit that I had been eating junk food in between. So I was really compiling, and I remember a doctor one time, and I asked her, I said, "Well, I'm just frustrated with my weight. I don't know what to do about this because it keeps going up." And she said, "Well, the secret is you just have to eat less and exercise more." And I thought I was. I really thought I was. I was totally blocking out of my mind what I was doing. And I would try lots of different diets, and sometimes I'd stick to them for a while. Sometimes I was successful, but it was getting to be less and less, and the weight was getting to be more and more. But let's see, what happened was I'd been a leader in a commercial weight loss program, but even after 10 years, I was still struggling to control my weight. It was a daily chore, a daily struggle to keep my weight down below the points that were allowed. They had these little bars, and I could eat a bar in 2 bites, and I could even eat the entire box in a day if I wanted to, although I disciplined myself a lot of the time. But a lot of times I had my points finished by lunchtime, and I didn't have anything else to eat for the rest of the day except non-point food, which, as we know, there's no such thing as non-point food, really. But they consider what non-point food. So, but the meeting eventually closed because there wasn't a lot of growth there, and there was, except in the weight area. So they wanted. The people that were going there had been, we kind of treated it like a diet club. So I had a lot of friends there, and we all came in and weighed together, and we'd have a meeting, and we were all struggling the same way. But when the meeting closed, my friends there wanted me to start up another weight loss program. They wanted me to start, I could start the same one or anyone, but they just didn't want to gain their weight back. And I was the same way. We'd see each other in the grocery store because we live in a really small town, and we'd look in each other's baskets and see what we were buying and seeing, how we were doing weight-wise and all that. And we were just all pretty desperate. But at the same time, I'd been leading that meeting. I had been in another 12-step program. My daughter had had some problems with drinking, and so I had gone to Al-Anon and this. And I really fell in love with the spiritual aspects of the program. I loved that part, and I loved the how it was healing me on the inside. And I thought, if only a diet would follow such a program, it would be successful. These other diets I'd been trying, I just didn't find success there, long-term success. So I thought, if it was on the inside and I was being motivated to stick to it. And I mentioned that to enough people, and somebody finally said, "Well, there is a 12-step program for losing weight, and it's called OA." And so right away, I got on the phone meetings, and I started. I thought, if I could just figure out how to do this and get the secret food plan, then I could go ahead and start up an OA program here in our town. And so that's what I did. I started on the phone meetings, and after 3 weeks, I got a sponsor. I didn't think I needed one at first. I just thought I needed the secret diet plan, but I was luckily listening on the meetings, and I figured out that I did need a sponsor. I needed somebody to lead me through because this was really different. There was a lot to it, and So it was pretty easy to find a sponsor because on an NOA 90 day, they give out their names at every meeting. And so I just found somebody I thought I would relate to and talk to each day. And she was great. She was wonderful and really helped
10-minute
me.
mark.
Thank you very much. She, at first, when she gave me the food plan, I was horrified. I thought, how can I give up sugar and flour, caffeine and sweeteners? Those things are at every meal. They're on every grocery list. I just didn't even see what was in between because I was just blinded by the horror that I had to give up my favorite things. And she said, well, can you just do it for one day? And I thought, well, yeah, I can do anything for one day. And so I did. And the next day she'd say, well, can you do it for one more day? And I did it for one more day. And that's the way we just kept on going. And it worked. I started to feel better. I think the hardest thing for me to give up was the caffeine because I kept falling asleep. And the problem was I used food to wake myself up. So that was kind of not a good thing. But she helped me find other ways to stay awake. I didn't realize at the time I had other health issues with staying awake, but I found those out later. She gave me reading recommendations, and the first reading recommendation she gave me was to read 2 pages of the Big Book every day. And I knew what the Big Book was because, like I said, I'd been in Al-Anon, and I said, I didn't need that book. My family needed that book. That's what I'd been finding out. So she said, well, there's a lot in there that you can relate with, and if you can just change the word alcoholic to compulsive overeater and change the wording of alcohol to food, you might find some things that you can relate to. And like I said, I was listening to the meetings too, so I was hearing the promises over again, and I was hearing the acceptance prayer and different parts that I just fell in love with. And I could really start to see how much I was similar to the alcoholic. So then the next hurdle was the phone calls. And I thought, and she told asked me to make 3 phone calls a day. And I thought, how can I call 3 strangers a day? You know, I don't even like to talk on the phone. I'm an introvert. I didn't want to talk to people that I didn't know. And she said, well, just get some phone numbers on the meetings of people that you can relate to and give them a call. And she said, maybe you can think of a question to ask them. I'd been asking her a lot of questions and a lot of challenges. And she said, well, why don't you ask on your outreach calls? And so I did. I just started making my phone calls with a question in mind. And people were so receptive and so kind. And I found that when people give out their phone numbers on the meetings, that they don't mind if I call. In fact, a lot of them like it. And I started making some friends that I'd never really had many friends before. So that was just a wonderful thing for me. And I started to really love the phone calls and love getting together with people so far on the phone calls. So, and some of them were far away. I called people overseas. And I called people across the country, and that became that thought. I thought, well, that's just like a virtual meeting in the sky, you know, or it's just people I never would have met otherwise. It was pretty cool, and it still is. I had a lot of questions that I asked my sponsor. What do I do during the holidays? I came in, you know, I started my abstinence the end of October because there was going to be several holidays that involved food coming between there and after the beginning of the new year. And I didn't know how I was going to deal with those. And we had company coming for some of them, and some of them we had to go to other people's houses. And so she said, well, why don't you just ask them in your outreach calls? And so that was one of the questions I asked. And I found lots of really helpful hints on how to deal with the holidays. And I said, well, what do I do with traveling? When I started this program, I was in New Hampshire visiting my mother. I had to drive 4 days to get home. And of course, for that, we usually bought a bunch of junk food to eat on the way home to help keep us awake and to nourish us. Not nourish, really. But that's what we bought. We went to Trader Joe's and stocked up. And she said, well, no, you can't do that. You're going to need to call people on your outreach calls and ask them what they do to travel. And I did. And again, I found really good ways I could pack up my food. And now I've traveled overseas, and I've traveled in car trips and plane trips, and I can go anywhere with with my food, and
5 minutes
it's really
left.
comfortable. Oh, thank you. How do I avoid other people's foods? Ask on your outreach call, she said. And so that's what I did. And I found out lots of information that way. I had trouble thinking of my program like a diet. Why can't I have these snacks? There's no points, no calories. What I had a really wise friend that I was talking to on the phone. She was one of my sponsors in the other program. And she said, well, the reason that you can't have those things is because today it might be something that's totally harmless, but the next one might be something different. And I realized it was a habit I was trying to break, not particularly the. Hating myself, I was still angry and isolating. But I loved the meetings, and I began to grow and change. And I worked the steps. Every morning I would read, write, and meditate, and I treated the program like my classes at school. I took notes, and I was eager to learn. I wrote down phone numbers. I used my tools. And 4.5 years later now, I have a lot more serenity. My anger seems to have been removed. I'm less oversensitive, less stressed. I'm pretty even keeled and calm, and things don't bother me the way they used to. I used to, if somebody said something that hurt my feelings, it would last for days, even weeks. And now I just can brush it off. I can realize that they might have just had a bad day, or they didn't, maybe didn't even mean it that way. I've learned ways to deal with that, and I'm very accepting of so many things that I never was before. I had not realized how unmanageable my life had been before program. I was a mess. I was unorganized. I was angry and belligerent, and I just didn't deal well with a lot of things. And I was difficult to get along with. My relationships were a mess. Even the one with my husband. My poor husband is so patient. He put up with me through a lot. And now he can enjoy a wife who is a lot more fun to be with, and I'm grateful for that. I came to OA to lose weight, but I got a whole lot more, and I'm so grateful. I got to work the 12 steps, and I've been learning about myself. My thinking has been getting straightened out. I'm in a study now to study the steps more in depth in a one-on-one way, which is really good for me. I'm looking at some of my motives for the reason acting the way I acted and behaving, and I'm so grateful for the people in this program that are so giving of their time in that way, and they don't even expect payment, which is amazing, because it seems like out in the real world they want payment for almost anything anymore. Let's see, I discovered that I had self-centeredness, pride, and fear that had been behind a lot of my character defects. And I've learned to figure out how to deal with those things. And I can't say that I've arrived. I certainly have not been arrived. But I am accepting that I will learn as I grow. I'm accepting that my higher power will give me what I need when I need it, and reveal as I'm growing, then I can change and grow in the time that's planned for me. I found
1 minute.
happiness, and thank you so much. I found happiness, and I've learned to accept and even love myself, which is a real gift, because I didn't realize how much I hated myself and was disgusted by myself. I didn't trust myself. And now I do all those things. I can feel good because I'm abstinent every day. I can be so grateful when I go to bed at night and say, thank you, God, for helping me stay abstinent today. It's the best feeling in the world. And in the morning, I wake up with those same thoughts. Oh, I'm so excited to start this day abstinent. I'm so grateful that I was abstinent the day before, instead of recriminations from the mistakes I had made the day before. What a gift. That is the best. That is really the best. I do my tools every day. If I have a bad day or a blah day, I just do extra tools. I don't give up. I go to an extra meeting. I make extra phone calls.
Time.
I'm far from being, thank you, I'll just close up. I'm far from being perfect, but I'm growing and changing. It's progress, not perfection. So thanks. This is Lynn from South Dakota. I'll give my number when the recording's turned off.